we are wrapping up our series. It's called God, Just Tell Me. And it's all about finding and living out God's will for your life. And it's been adapted from a church called Life Church and a pastor named Craig Groeschel. We kind of adapted it to what we want to teach. And I love teaching on this because anytime you pursue what God wants for your life, you will experience joy. You'll experience significance, you'll experience difficulty, and you will experience meaning. Like when you're in the center of God's will, when you know who you are, your identity is rooted in Christ, when you know whose you are, that you're loved by God and that you're his child, and you're doing what he's called you to do. You have figured out how to hear his voice and you're pursuing what he's called you to do, and then you're doing it. That is just from personal experience, from scripture, and from walking with thousands of people over the last three decades of ministry. I can just tell you, when you're living in the middle of God's will, you are experiencing what God calls life to the full. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I came to give you life and life to the full. And I'll just tell you this, following Jesus wherever he leads, when you learn how to hear his voice and you follow him wherever he leads, you're going to experience life to the full as God intended us to. And so here's what I want to say. If you missed any part of this series over the last 3 weeks, please go back and watch it. We've basically laid out a blueprint for following God's will. But today we are ending with what I think is one of the most important parts of this series. The most important part of anyone's spiritual walk with God, and learning how to do what we're talking about today has been one of the greatest catalysts to life change in my life, in my walk with God, and that is learning how to hear God's voice, learning to listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And so I'm going to start with a confession. Okay, here's my confession. I can be a really bad listener sometimes. Anybody that like can be a really bad listener sometimes? Like sometimes I get easily distracted when someone else is talking. Sometimes I think about what I want to say while someone else is saying what they're saying. Sometimes I get busy and I don't slow down enough to even hear what someone's saying. And sometimes, like a typical guy, I go into fix-it mode, like bad thing to do, guys, especially when your wife or your significant other just wants you to listen. And my wife has learned that at some point, sometimes she will have to just say, I just need you to listen right now. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. I thought we were fixing stuff because that's what we do when we have problems, right? Well, sometimes we'll be watching a show, and this has happened, you know, recently. We'll be watching a show. Melissa and I'll be watching a show, and our daughter, she's 17, she's a junior in high school, our fourth kid, she will come down and just sit down and start talking to us. And so we'll mute the TV or we'll pause it or whatever. But then at some point during the conversation, she will start talking mainly to Melissa, right? Well, when she does that, I like just zone. I'm done. She's not talking to me. So I'm out. I don't know where my mind goes. But at some point, and this happened probably about a month ago, all of a sudden the room gets quiet. And I'm like, they're both staring at me. And I'm like, what? And Avery will be like, Dad, I just asked you a question. I'm like, you did? She's like, twice. And they're both looking at me. And Melissa, I look over at Melissa and Melissa's like, she did twice, you know? And I'm like, oh, because I just stopped listening. I didn't hear a word. I know not very many people struggle like I do with listening, but I think sometimes that's how a lot of us are with God. Like, he's trying to speak, trying to get our attention, but we're distracted. We're focused on ourselves. We're busy with life. We haven't trained ourselves to hear his voice, so we miss it. Well, I can remember back when I was a kid really wanting to hear God speak. And I remember this one moment I asked my mom, I'm like, Mom, can God just like talk to me like with a voice, like where I can hear him? Like, can he do that? And I remember my mom's answer. She says, well, he's God. He can do anything. I'm like, okay. She's like, you should ask him. I'm like, well, I will. And so I remember praying, and I would ask God for a long while, for a number of months in my life as a young kid. I'm like, God, would you just talk to me like out of the air, out of the vent in the room? I don't know. Just talk to me. I want to hear your voice. And I will just tell you, I've never heard God audibly like that. I've never heard like voice out of the sky, out of the clouds, out of the vent, out of the speaker in my car. But over the years, I've learned how to hear God. Over the decades of following Jesus, God has spoken to me clearly and specifically. He's guided my life. He's shown me what to do and what not to do. And I've learned to recognize his voice. So today, I want to talk about and teach you the most powerful way that I've found to hear from God. It is called the listening prayer. And even if you're here, you're not sure what you believe. You're watching online, you're not sure what you believe yet. I think this can help you begin to recognize how God may be speaking into your life. And it really comes from a book that was given to me by a friend a long time ago. And this book kind of changed my walk with God. This is it. It's called God Guides. It's by a nun who was a missionary to India named Mary Geig. And so it's kind of like, I remember he gave me the book and I'm like, well, not very impressive. Like I'm not leaning in yet because they put a lot of time into this. You know, you could tell they really did. But I was skeptical, but I started reading. By page 2, I was completely hooked. See, Mary decided that she wanted to start hearing from God more. And so she began to listen. So she would get in a quiet place and she would grab a notebook and a pen and she would ask God for help with a certain situation and she would write down whatever God said and then go do it. So here is on page 2, when I read this, I'm like, okay, I want more. So let me just read to you this section of the book. She says, I determined to listen to God for guidance in all matters. And I promised him I would obey whatever he told me. There were so many things which needed solutions. One was a feeling of friction between my colleague and myself. She had 10 children and often was not well and could not carry out her work program regularly. I felt very critical of her for trying to hold on to a job. One morning early, I asked God for guidance. What could I do to dissolve the critical feeling I had in my heart for her? Take her a fresh egg, came a thought. Well, that wasn't my idea, and who would say that was guidance? A dozen fresh eggs might be reasonable, but one? That might insult my colleague. So I wrote it off and gave up for that morning. I went to school to teach my classes in the mission school. At noon, when I came home, there was a chicken in a large armchair in my living room. Our houses in India were wide open to the public. The hen flew down and started to cackle, and there was an egg freshly laid. Dear me, that had never happened before nor since, and I remembered what I had scratched out in my new guidance notebook, take her a fresh egg. Why not obey? Well, she'll laugh at me. Results are not your business. Your business is obedience. You promised. I took the egg and went to her house. Her little son was outside. That helped. Here, Tumby, take this egg to your mother, please. It's for her. He took it, went in the house. I didn't wait, but I left quickly. That evening, the mother came to me. How did you happen to bring me that egg? It was so fresh and so good. Well, that was my guidance this morning. And then I told her what happened. Oh, that is just like God, she said. He knew I had nothing to eat this day. There just wasn't enough food for all, so I went without. Then you brought me the egg. When I ate it, I felt satisfied and strengthened. From that day, she and all her family began to listen to God daily for guidance, and all the friction in my heart was gone, and there sprung up an understanding and Christian love for her and for her family. The rest of this book is story after story after story of how God guided her life through a simple listening prayer and how she would teach other people the same listening prayer and how God would show up and guide them as well to very unique stories just like that one. And I remember reading that story, and then as I kept reading, just going, I want that. I want my life to be led by God like Mary, like she's experienced. And what happened was that started a new way of following Jesus for me and for my wife and those that I have taught the listening prayer to over the years. And so for the rest of our time, I want to talk about how to listen so that you might hear the voice of God and discern his will for your life. So if you're going to hear from God on a regular basis, there are three truths you need to understand. And here's the first one. God wants to speak to you every day. I want you to say that out loud. I want you to say, God wants to speak to me every day. Ready? 1, 2, 3. God wants to speak to me every day. Yes, he does. Are you listening? I want you to say it again, a little more conviction, okay? Like say it like you mean it, like you believe it. God wants to speak to me every day.
God wants to speak to me every day.
Yes, he does. Are you listening every day for his voice? Or do you go days, weeks, months, and never learn or never stop and never listen? See, it's one thing to believe that God speaks. It's another to live with an expectation that God will speak and a process to hear him. So we start with this foundation. God wants to speak to you every day. Do you know his voice? Do you know when he's speaking? Part of his will for your life is that you hear and recognize when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. There's this passage where Jesus was teaching, and he says this in John 10, verse 2. He says, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Now, in case you're wondering in this story, we are the sheep. God is the good shepherd, and the sheep know his voice. They recognize it. They listen to it. They follow him. And don't miss this, he calls them by name. What does that tell us? God knows your name. Like when you say, "Hey, God," when you take a minute and you pray and you focus your heart and your mind on God, and you say, "God," he is not up there going, "Who's that? What? Guys, shh, angels, be quiet. Somebody said something. I think they were talking to me." No. "Hey, God." "Yes, Kevin." "Hey, God." "Yes, Sarah." "Hey, God." "Yes, Jeff." He's relational. He knows your name. He calls you by name. The sheep know his voice well enough to distinguish it. They know when it's him, and they know when it's not. So let me ask you again, do you know the voice of God? Can you tell when it's him that is speaking to you? You know, it's interesting, in Middle Eastern culture, shepherds often will put their sheep together in the same pen at night. You have 3 or 4 shepherds, and they'll just take all their sheep, put them in one pen. It's simpler that way, it's safer that way, and they will all be together for the night. But what's fascinating is in the morning, when the shepherd goes to get his sheep, and he calls out to his sheep, the sheep of that shepherd know his voice, and they will separate themselves out of the crowd and follow their shepherd because they've learned to recognize and follow the voice of their shepherd. Do you know God's voice like that? Do you recognize it? God wants to speak to you every day. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to help you live in the center of his will. Are you listening? One of the first steps to hearing the voice of God is really having this deep-hearted belief that God wants to talk to you every day. Second truth you need to hear about listening to God is you will hear God speak when you're willing to obey quickly. You'll hear God speak when you're willing to obey quickly. Okay, this is a little bit of homework time. I really hope you do better than last week. Like, you guys, you're going to get this. God doesn't give us his will for consideration. He gives us his will for?
Participation.
Woo! A plus plus, A plus plus. Thank you very much. I'm not a terrible teacher. I'm just mediocre, but I'll take mediocre. God isn't interested in talking to you so that you can add whatever he asks you to do to your list of options that you've come up with. I've found that God speaks most clearly to me and the people that I've taught this prayer to, and this whole book is about that. He speaks most clearly when your heart is already surrendered and you're ready to do whatever he asks. Because again, the whole idea of God's will is that he's got plans for you and they are good and they're better than anything you can come up with. And so part of the faith journey is getting to the place where you're like, you know what? I really do believe that God's plans are better than mine and I want to know what they are. In fact, I want to know him so much that I'm willing to say yes to whatever he asks because I trust him that much and I have that much faith. See, for a lot of us, we spend a whole lot of time telling God what we want him to do, but not much time listening to what he wants us to do, right? In fact, most of our prayers are telling God what we want him to do. Very little of our prayers are asking him what he wants us to do and then just listening with a willingness to do it. So let me give you a story about this. There's a man with 1,000 acres of land, and he's dying. He calls his 3 sons in, and he says, "Hey, you can inherit everything, but there are 3 conditions that are going to be in my will that you must follow. And if you follow those 3 conditions, you will inherit the entire 1,000. You'll inherit my entire empire." All 3 sons are like, "We are in. We will do that." Well, after he dies, a short while later, the will is opened. Instructions were really simple. It was put the corn on the west side of the property, put the wheat in the north, and put the apples in the south. Well, they're like, simple enough. Well, they go out and they do soil testing. And they discover that the father was dead right about the corn. The corn needed to go on the west, so they put the corn in the west. They did the studies, and the dad was dead right on where the wheat should go. Perfect placement, so they put the wheat in the north. But when they tested the southern area for apples, for the apples, where the apples were supposed to go, they found that that wasn't the best soil for it. And so they decided to plant it in the east instead. So here's the question. How many of the three conditions did they follow? How many did they follow? Yell it out. Two. They followed two. True answer. They followed none. Here's why. They revealed with the apples that if they would have disagreed with the other two, they'd have put them somewhere else. If the soil test wouldn't have agreed, they'd have done their own thing. They didn't trust that the father knew best, and that lack of trust led to disobedience on all three counts and led to the loss of the inheritance. And here's the irony. The father had worked the land his whole life. He knew every square inch of that property, every acre, every detail. He knew exactly where to put the produce so that it would give the greatest yield. But his sons trusted themselves more than they trusted their father. And I will just tell you, we do the same thing with God when it comes to doing what our Heavenly Father asks us or directs us to do. We obey a few of God's laws, the ones we agree with. We follow the easy ones, the ones that make sense to us, the ones that we think will get us what we want or get us to where we want to go. But we half obey the ones we disagree with. And some we disregard altogether because we don't trust that our Heavenly Father's ways are better than ours. And we filter God's voice through our own understanding. We ask him what to do, and then we weigh it against our preferences, our plans, our opinions, our logic, our finances, our situation. Can I just tell you, God's not interested in being one of your options. He's just interested in being your only option. He's interested in being the option for your life. Why? Because he's God and you're not. He's God, we're not. God says to us in Isaiah 55, he says, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Spiritual maturity is coming to the place where you trust that God's ways are truly better than yours, even when they don't make sense yet. Even when it's take one egg to somebody instead of a dozen. If you want to hear from God, first off, you need to believe that he wants to speak to you every day and live with an expectation that God's going to talk to me today. And the second thing is understanding that he knows your heart and you need to be ready to do whatever he asks if you want to hear from him. If you're legitimately, because again, he knows your motives, he knows what's going on inside. If you're just like, well, I want to know what God wants me to do, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. I just want to put it up and see if it's better than what I've already got planned. God just doesn't play that game. You want to know God? Go ahead, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. God doesn't reveal his will for you to consider. He reveals it for you to follow. It's for participation that he gives us his will. Okay, here's the last truth we're going to talk about, and that is this. You will hear God speak when you learn how to discern his voice from all others. I want to spend the rest of our time giving you a process, a strategy for hearing God's voice on a regular basis. If you want to hear from him, the problem isn't that God isn't speaking to us. The problem is we just haven't learned to listen to his voice. We don't have a process. We don't have a strategy. We don't know what to do. And so I want to get really practical. To learn to discern God's voice, the first thing you need to do is you need to slow down. You need to slow down. So many of us, why do we miss God's voice? Because we're constantly moving. Busy schedules, nonstop activity. We're always rushing. We never get still. We never just listen. And I want to tell you a story about Moses. Moses is one of the key figures in the Old Testament. He was tending sheep when God spoke to him for the first time. And this is how God spoke to him. Moses noticed that there was a bush that was on fire. And he noticed over some period of time that it wasn't burning up. So Exodus 3, verse 2, Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. And sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of blow right through things. And you just got to think. So Moses, sees this bush burning. Might be a regular occurrence. They had storms come through, lightning and stuff. They're in a desert. But over time, I don't know, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, he keeps seeing this bush and realizing that bush isn't burning itself out. That's interesting to me. So after a while of watching this bush burn and it not burn itself out, he says, I'm going to go check it out. Verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Don't miss this. Moses slowed down and turned aside and drew near to God. That's when God spoke. I wonder if Moses lived at our pace of life, would he have seen that bush long enough to see it didn't burn up? Or would he have just been, come on, sheep, we got to go. We got an appointment. Let's go, 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 go. And he just would have said, oh, burning bush. Cool. Great. And just gone on. Would Moses have seen the bush if he would have been moving at the pace that most of us live at? Which begs the question, how many burning bushes have you rushed past in your life where God was trying to get your attention? And if you'd have just stopped long enough and paid attention and listened and looked, you'd have noticed, oh, that's interesting. I think I'm going to go check that out. And it was a God moment. But so many of us were so frenetic, are packing our schedules. We don't slow down enough to actually hear the voice of God. We run past the burning bushes in our lives because we're just like, oh, that's interesting, but we've got a place to be and a place to go, instead of just realizing that maybe that's a God moment. If you want to hear God's voice, you have to slow down enough to hear and see what he's trying to show you. Second thing you need to do is you need to limit distractions. Jesus in Matthew 6 is teaching us how to spend time in prayer with God, and this is what he says. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Why go away? Go into a room and shut the door behind you by yourself. Because distraction is the enemy of intimacy. That's why. You want to limit your ability to have intimacy and closeness with God? Be distracted all the time. And I'll just tell you, our world is designed to keep you distracted. Constant noise, constant input, phone always in hand, even when you go to the bathroom. I know you do that. Because I do. But most of us have every quiet moment filled. And your enemy, Satan, knows if you stay busy, distracted, and exhausted, you'll never be still enough to hear the voice of God. You'll never be quiet enough in your mind to actually hear God's voice. God's not going to shout over your notifications. That's just not how he is. The Bible is very clear that God speaks to you in a whisper. He speaks to your heart. He speaks to your soul. And a whisper is like it's intimate. A whisper is soft, it's personal, just between you and the person whispering, unless it's my kids when they were young. Man, they would get in my ear and blow my eardrums out. The whole room could hear them whisper. But when it's done right, and someone's whispering something to you, it's just you that can hear it. Just you that can hear it. So often, God speaks softly and gently to us when we slow down and limit distractions and listen for his gentle, small, still voice speaking to us in an intimate moment. That's why Psalm 46:10 just says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Just know that I'm God. As Christians, we have a term for it. We call it quiet time with God. We call it quiet time. What does that mean? It just means slowing down, getting still, being quiet, limiting distractions, and spending time with God, reading his word and prayer. What you find is that stillness isn't just physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. It's creating space where God has your full, undivided attention and you give him access to your heart. You know what God wants more than anything from you is access. Access to this. He just wants access to your heart. That's why Jesus says, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you. Just you and God, no distractions. So let me just ask you, when's the last time you sat down with God with no distractions? Maybe even shut the door behind you and just you and God, just quiet, just read his word, quiet. Just talked, quiet. No phone, no people in the room, just you and God. When's the last time you did that? You want to hear from God? You got to get to a place where you're slowing down and you're limiting distractions. And then once you slow down and limit distractions, you ask God to speak. And you think, oh, that's so simple. Well, ask him to speak. 1 Samuel 3, God calls the prophet Samuel, who wrote two books in the Bible. They're named after him. They have some of the greatest Bible stories are from Samuel. You got King Saul and King David, King David's reign, and you've got David and Goliath in there, and David, like, the best, like, war leader ever in the Bible. You know, one of the best kings, king after God's own heart. But when God first speaks to Samuel, he doesn't recognize God's voice at first. So Samuel is he's an understudy of a prophet named Eli, and they are asleep one time in the temple. And so while they're asleep in the temple, in verse 4, Samuel 3, verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." He's like, "Get away from me, man. I'm trying to sleep." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Like, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call. I'm trying to sleep. Go back and lay down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me again, when are you going to stop this?" And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" As you do a little research on this, Samuel and Eli were most probably in the same room, but only Samuel was hearing the voice of God, but he didn't recognize it at first. Eli didn't hear it, but he knew whose voice it was. And I love what Eli tells Samuel to say to God the next time he speaks. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Samuel goes and lays down, and sure enough, the Lord cries out, "Samuel," again. And Samuel wakes up and says, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And that's how Samuel's ministry began. Began in that moment as he started to hear God's voice. What a great prayer to pray. "Lord, speak. Your servant's listening." Have you slowed down, limited your distractions, and carved out time to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening"? You want to hear from God? We're getting to, how do you do that? "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." A number of years ago, I started ending my morning quiet time where I'm reading God's word and just in prayer. And I started listening. I just set my phone to set a 10-minute timer. And it is just, it's time to listen to God. It's every morning that I have quiet time, I end it with that, 10 minutes. I just clear my mind. I just say, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And I just ask God, I'm like, "Give me a word, a phrase, a person. What's your testimony about me?" Like, I just invite the Holy Spirit to speak. And more often than not, God will reveal something to me. Sometimes it's a person to reach out to or contact. He'll just put them front and center, just a picture of them. And I'll just get this sense, I need to reach out to that person. Sometimes it's just what God thinks of me. It's really interesting. Sometimes God just wants to encourage me. Just say, "You're my son. I love you." Live like that today. Sometimes it's a message for someone else that God says you need to deliver this to them. And there have been some pretty interesting messages that God has given me to give to people. Some that I've been like really hesitant to give, but just have felt this pressing on my chest of just going, "This is for that person. You need to say something." And I will tell you, every single time I've ever gone and said whatever God had told me to say, it has always been something that that person needed to hear and received well. When's the last time? "Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening." You can do that every day, knowing that God wants to talk to you every day. You don't know what to do about something? "Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. I need your help." I love there's in the book Soul Care, we do a Soul Care class twice a year, and I'm telling you, you want to find freedom in your life and healing in your life, which we all need. Our Soul Care class is absolutely unbelievable for that. But there's a book that it's based on by a guy named Rob Reimer, and I love what he says. It's that the moment I read that sentence, I've never forgot it. He's like, when I don't know what to do, I know the one who knows what to do. So I ask him. I love that idea. When you don't know what to do, you know the one who knows what to do? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. Ask him. All of that to say, when you slow down, you limit distractions, you ask God to speak to you, which he wants to do every day, he will. But there's one last part. This is kind of the secret to it all. This is kind of like what pulls it all together. The last part of the process is being fully willing and ready to do what he says. Just to do what he says. You want to hear from God? Commit before you hear what he tells you to do what he says. Why? Because you trust him. He's a good shepherd. He's a good father. He's not going to harm you. He's got nothing but your best interest in mind, but he also wants to use you to change the world around you. So it's like, do what he says. God, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I'll do whatever you tell me to. Passage in James 1 speaks to this commitment to doing whatever God says to do. James 1 verse 5 says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Like, God's not going to say, seriously? Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. So we'll be in tongue. Expect God to speak. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Part of hearing God is being willing to do what he says. And what he tells you to do will always align with his word. It won't be out of character with who God is. It will require faith. It will stretch you. It will not be easy, but it will always be right. And it will always be for your benefit or the benefit of other people. Melissa and I have been doing the listening prayer for many years. Now, remember, with the listening prayer, part of doing it is writing down what God says. And so I have a notebook that is full of listening prayers over the years. And I've always tried to write down the question that I was asking and then what God's answer was while I sit and I wait for God to talk, because part of it is expecting him to speak. And I remember one of the first few times that I tried it, I had my notebook ready, pen and prayer ready, and I'm gonna just sit down, I'm gonna wait. Whatever God says for me to do, I'm gonna write it down, I'm gonna do it. And one of those first few times, Melissa and I were doing this together as we were learning how to kind of work this into our walk with God. And I remember we were asking God for what he wanted us to do about a certain situation that had come up in our lives, and we needed his guidance big time. And to be honest with you, it was so long ago, I don't remember what the situation was, but I just know, I'm like, we need to do the listening prayer. We've got to hear from God on this. And so we asked God for his wisdom, and we pray together, we pray about the situation, we ask him for his wisdom. We tell him, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We will do whatever you tell us to do. And so I'm just sitting there. Melissa and I, we're in the same room, but she's kind of over there. I'm here, and I'm just sitting. I'm listening. I'm waiting. I got my eyes closed, and I feel like God speaks to me. And I like write down like five words that God said to me in this sentence. And it was like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is from God. And it was really good stuff. I'm like, okay, this is too smart to be for me. This is really good. So after a little bit of time, Melissa's over there. She's got some stuff. We get back together. I'm like, what do you got? And I was really proud of myself. I'm like, I think I heard from God. So I tell her, these are the five. I tell her the five words. And I'm like, what'd you get? She's got five sentences. And I'm like, come on. Like, I get five words. You give her five sentences. Like, what is that all about? But it's like God speaks to me like a guy. Like, if you use too many words on me, I zone out, apparently. So God's just like, I got to get to the point. I got five words for you. That's all you're going to be able to take. But to Melissa, he's like, I'll give you a couple paragraphs, you know, because she's just better at it than me. But it was moments like that where God showed up, and what he said to her was beautiful. And what he said to me was like right on point. And so we just began this regular moments where we're like, God, what do you want us to do? And we would write it down and go do it. It's what got us here to Florida with four kids under the age of seven. We moved down here because God told us to, and we did the listening prayer, and we didn't know how hard it would be down here. We didn't know what it would cost us. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into 16 years ago. We just know that God opened up an opportunity to come here and was asking us to follow him. So this is how we kind of heard from God about this place. We came down here on a trip, just Melissa and I, to kind of come down here to Orlando, because we knew it was Orlando, and that was where the opportunity was, but we didn't know where in Orlando. So we kind of landed in the Winter Garden area and went, okay, this kind of feels like it's the right place. And so we just just got to a place sometime over this trip of 3 or 4 days of just really seeking God's will. And we did the listening prayer. And one of the questions I asked God right in my notebook, in my prayer, listening prayer journal, I just wrote down the question, why Orlando? Like, that was my question, why Orlando? And just sat and listened. And on January 1st, 2008, January 31st, 2008, God answered me. Because I want to do something new. That's it. That's all I said. Because I want to do something new. I was like, okay. Because I told him I'd already do it if he told me to do it. And Melissa and I were kind of tracking on that. And through that listening prayer and a bunch of other affirmations, we knew that this is where God was calling us. And here we are. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's good for you. Like, you've taken the time over many years to develop this ability to hear from God, and you're a pastor, so of course God talks to you. Like, I know you might be thinking that. Well, here's what you need to know. You don't need years, and you don't need to be a pastor to hear from God. When we came down from Michigan to see who might want to come with us to start this church that was called Kensington Church, it was a campus of a church called Kensington that became Crossline over the years, we brought people down in groups of 20 to 40 from Michigan on these things we called plunges. And we stayed at the Edgewater Hotel in Winter Garden, and we'd spent 3 days together. We did like scavenger hunts around Orlando, like met with real estate agents, drove through neighborhoods to just kind of say, this is what it's like to live down here, to see who God might be calling to come with us to start this church. Well, here's what's interesting about that. Every single group we brought, I think we did 3 plunges over the course of 3 months. We had 1 each month for 3 months. At the end of the time together, we taught the listening prayer to everybody. This is how you hear from God. This is what you do. And then we sent everybody out for 30 minutes. Said, go out. I don't remember what property we were on. Maybe Camp Yale, maybe. I don't know. It's around here somewhere. We were somewhere beautiful. And we just said, hey, go out for 30 minutes by yourself, notebook in hand. We gave everybody a journal for the weekend and a pen. And this is what you're going to pray. And this is, you're just seeking God's will. And so everybody did it. And I will tell you the stories that came from those half hours. Gosh, I'm emotional just thinking about it. Because people came back in tears because they heard from God. And they had written what God had said. And for some people, it was a yes. This is it. Move. Some people, it was a no. And other people, God talked to them about other stuff going on in their life that had nothing to do with this. But he had their attention, and he could talk to them. And through tears, people would just say, this is what God said to me. And for many of them, it was the first time in their life they'd ever heard from God in such a clear way that they could write down what he said. So I'll just say this. If in your prayer time, you don't leave time for God to speak to you, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's like me asking you for advice and then walking away before you give it to me. Who does that? Hey, you got any thoughts on what I should do with this? Okay. So we do to God. God, help me with this. Oh, I'm busy. I got to go. We never stop and listen to what he might be telling us to do or asking us to do. So here's how I want to close out the message part today. We're going to put this into practice right now. If God wants to speak to us every day, why not take time to listen on a day that you've already carved out time for God? You're here carving out part of your Sunday for God. So we're going to take the time. This is what I want you to do. If you do not have a note card and a pen, it is important that you have something to write on. I just want you to just raise your hand over the next couple of minutes. We got ushers that are come down and give you something to write on and something to write with. Because here's why I want you to have that in your hand. Because what if God talks to you? You need to be ready to write it down. I'm not saying he's gonna, but we know he wants to. I'm expecting him to. I've been praying that he would. I don't want you to miss it because I know what happens. You go, oh, that might be from God. And then you kind of let your mind keep going. And then you're like, what was that? But if you go, that might be from God, write it down. You can come back to it. You can see it. You can think about it. So if you don't have anything to write on or write with, just raise your hand over the next couple of minutes. But this is what we're going to do. I want you to sit quietly where you are. I want you to just take a breath. Slow down your mind. We're going to limit your distractions. And in a moment, we're going to dim the lights just a little bit. And I want you to ask God to speak to you. I want you to ask him to speak to you. And I want you to have a heart that's willing to do whatever he tells you to do. We're basically going to ask God a very simple question. God, what do you want to say to me today? And we're going to give God 5 minutes, okay? Like you might be going, oh, that's a long time. But you just need to listen. Maybe a scripture comes to mind. Maybe God shows you a person that you need to encourage, or maybe someone that you need to forgive, or maybe someone that you need to have a difficult conversation with. Maybe he's going to show you an area of your life where you need to trust him. Or maybe he has something specific that you need an answer for, because you've got a problem going on, or you need answers for something that's going on in your life. And here's the thing, what's interesting about this, you don't need to force anything, you just need to create space for the Good Shepherd to speak to you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us before I give you a prayer to pray on the screen. I'm going to pray, and we're going to invite God to do what only he can do, and that is speak directly to your heart. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much for this day that we have carved out time for you to speak to us. And so, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Share with us whatever is on your heart that you want to share with our heart. We're listening. Focus our minds, focus our heart. Take the distractions away in these moments and help us hear your still, small voice. Help us write it down if we hear anything or sense that you're speaking. Give us hearts right now, Lord, that are willing to do whatever you ask. You are the good shepherd. We are the sheep. We want to hear your voice. In your holy name, amen. So in just a minute, don't put it up yet. I'm going to put up what is the listening prayer. This is right out of this book. And I want to encourage you to either write it down on your paper or take a picture of it with your phone. That is the only thing you'd use your phone for. Take a picture of it so you can have it in the future when you want to pray this prayer again. But I want you to pray this prayer right now, as soon as we start, and then I want you to just listen. And it might be uncomfortable for you to sit in silence for 5 minutes. That's okay. It might be new for you. It might be a new muscle that you're using to actually be silent for 5 minutes and not be asleep. So we're just going to sit for 5 minutes. And if you sense the Lord telling you anything, just write it down. Be willing to put it into practice. Be willing to do it right after the service. Just be willing to do whatever he tells you to. But I just think it's like, what a great moment we have to carve out 5 minutes of our lives to do it right in service. So here is the listening prayer. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. And I'm just going to read it to you. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your son. And I'm seeking wisdom for, what do you need wisdom for in your life? What do you wish God would talk to you about right now? I place my voice under the authority of the shed blood of Jesus and command that my own thoughts be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. I ask, Father, that only your Holy Spirit will speak to me as I wait on you for wisdom, insight, and direction for whatever that is. And what you show me and direct me to do, I will quickly obey. And along the bottom, there are four verses where this prayer comes out of. And so if you want to do a little extra study, take a picture of that, write those verses down, and go read them on your own. But that's where this prayer comes from in Scripture. Kind of put together those four verses. And so we are going to start the 5 minutes right now. You know what to do. Thank you. Well, my hope is over the last 5 minutes, maybe God, for the first time, spoke to you, or you heard something, and that you'll go and do whatever he told you to do. And for some of you, maybe you're just like, I don't know, I didn't get anything. That's okay, because it's not about the outcome. It's about the process, right? It's about giving God space and time and an empty mind that's not distracted to speak. And maybe it's just too many people around for you. That's okay. Go in your prayer room. Close the door behind you alone. Say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And I will just tell you, over time, you will learn to discern God's voice. I want to encourage you to add into your prayer time daily. I hope you have a prayer time daily. I hope you spend time with God daily. I hope that you'll add in some time listening every single time. It's worth the time. I know you're like, I don't have that much time. Oh, why don't you listen to God? That's kind of some of the best time you're going to spend, because he wants to speak to you. So slow down, limit distractions, and ask God to speak, and then do what he says. And let me just say this. God is not looking for superheroes. He is looking for surrendered hearts. That's what he wants. He doesn't need superheroes. I'm the least from a superhero, anyone you'll ever think. But I've surrendered my heart. I've said yes. And I think, just like I am every single day, you will be astounded and blown away by what God will do with your yes. For some of you, your yes is to follow Jesus for the first time. So I just want to take a moment and pray. And those of you that maybe you're watching online or you're in the room and you haven't stepped across the line of faith, I want to pray a simple prayer with you to give you the opportunity to step across and begin a relationship with Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? If today you're trusting Jesus for the first time, just borrow my words. Jesus, I need you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again. I turn from my old life. I place my trust in you. So forgive me, make me new, be my Savior and my King. I give you my life and submit to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.